you go, Harry. Have a good day. Do you need something, Harry?
Could you move me over just a little bit? I like to be in front of the window where the sun shines in. Just a little more.
How's that?
I like to be right up against the glass.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Can I do anything else for you?
That's good. Thank you.
Okay.
Hey, what? What day is it?
Today is Sunday.
Sunday?
Mm-hmm.
I lose all track of time in this place. Did you go to church today?
I did. I went right before my shift started.
Good for you. What church do you go to?
Academy Christian Church.
Really?
Yeah.
That's my church.
Yeah.
At least it used to be. Haven't been able to go for a long time. How old are you anyway?
I'm 24.
Well, I was gonna say 14.
I've heard that a time or two.
Are you a real nurse?
Mm-hmm. Fully credentialed and everything. Been 2 years already.
Wow. You look younger all the time.
Well, I have to go see some other patients, so I'll come check on you later, okay?
Thank you. Yeah. Hey.
Yeah?
What do you call a cow with no legs?
What?
Ground beef.
Oh, that's a good one.
Hey, what do you call a bear with no teeth?
I don't know.
Gummy bear.
Yes.
Hey?
Uh-huh.
Why is it so hard to have a party in outer space?
I don't know why.
Because you have to plan it. You get it? Did you get it?
I got it.
Hey. Hey.
Yes.
You said it was Sunday, right?
Yep.
Could you go to my room and bring my Bible? It's on the nightstand. Bring my lap board.
Okay.
Helps me hold things.
I'll be right back.
Sunday. I haven't been to church in a long time.
Here you go.
Thank you.
How's that?
That's good.
All righty. Oh, hey, I have the notes from today's sermon. Would you like to see them?
Oh, I'd love that. Thank you.
There you go.
So much.
All right.
Say.
Yes.
Could you open the Bible to the theme text? My fingers don't work very good.
There you go.
Thank you. I wonder what the sermon was about today. Where's my glasses? Anchors. Faith anchors. Anchors away, my boys. Anchors away. I don't remember the words, but I like to sing it anyway. Faith anchors. What you believe about God is the most important thing about you. I think that's true. We all need some faith anchors in our life. Something to hold on to when we lose our grip. Faith anchor. Some moments will come that may rock your world. Perhaps the person you love the most reveals they don't love you anymore. No, that never happened to me. I was married to the same woman for 62 years. I really miss you. I wish you could be here and go to church with me. Actually, I wish I could be there and go to church with you. That's what I'm praying. Moments that rock our world are bound to come. Perhaps the doctor tells you you've got cancer. I've never had cancer, but my children have. My daughter was 4 when they found that tumor. They got it all. My son was 30 when he had cancer, and again, surgery and treatment seemed to take care of it. And then his wife, she had cancer too. And one more time, the treatment solved it. I guess that's a strange thing. 3 bouts with cancer, all of them defeated. God's mercy has found us. But you're right, preacher. Those things rocked our world. In these moments, your faith can provide an anchor for your soul. Anchor number 3. God is love. So there is nothing to prove. God is love. There is nothing you can do to make God love you more. Nothing you can do to make him love you less. Romans 5, verse 8. I know that verse. But God demonstrates his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died. Interesting sermon, preacher. The anchor of God's love for me. I think I could have church right here. Half these people are deaf anyway, and the ones who think I might be crazy, well, we got boatloads of crazy around here. I got a Bible and a worshiper. We'll do church right here. Romans, my favorite book. Chapter 8, my favorite chapter. It's the love chapter. Some people think 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter. And indeed, it does describe our behavior toward one another. But Romans 8 describes God's behavior toward us. The love chapter. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of sonship. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is the Spirit Himself bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ, provided that we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. I had this preacher years ago who, when you would ask him how he was doing today, he would answer by saying, I have never been better. A crazy answer. It didn't relate to me because, honestly, my days aren't getting better and better. And quite frankly, I didn't believe his were getting better either. But he was referring to glory, that each day brings us nearer to the place where this broken earth no longer controls. And the glory of God is to be revealed. He was referring to glory. And my longing grows for such a thing too. Me and honey, we would always count days. We counted the days until our wedding. We counted days until our children were born. We counted days until important events like birthdays and family reunions. We counted days. I'm counting days again. One more day nearer to glory. I consider that the sufferings of this present time, suffering of the age. He's talking about all of them. The sufferings of every age. And every man in every geography, every time and season, every generation, all of them pile it up in a gargantuan horde. Gather it from every corner. I consider that the sufferings of the present age, all of it, are not worth comparing to the glory that is to be revealed to us. John saw it. Glory. Locked on a prison island, eating green swill and insects, confined and left for himself, he saw it. Glory. Revelation 4. After this, I looked, and lo, in heaven, an open door. And the first voice, which was speaking to me like a trumpet, said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. At once I was in the spirit, and lo, a throne stood in heaven, with one seated on the throne. He who sat there appeared like jasper and carnelian. Round the throne was a rainbow that looked like an emerald. Round the throne there were 24 thrones, and on those thrones were 24 elders clad in white garments with golden crowns upon their head. From the throne issue flashes of lightning, voices and peals of thunder. Before the throne burn the seven torches of fire, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there is, as it were, a sea of glass, like crystal. Round the throne and on either side of the throne are four living creatures, full of eyes all round and within. The first living creature like a lion, the second living creature like an ox, the third living creature with the face of a man, and the fourth living creature like a flying eagle. And the four living creatures are full of eyes in front and behind it, and day and night they never cease to sing, "Worthy art thou, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou didst create all things, for by thy will they existed and were created." It's there. It's there. He's seen it. Glory. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels call my name from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. It's there. What then shall we say to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is it to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised from the dead, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or the sword? No! No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. I can never forget the means by which I gained entrance to the Father's house. Mine was a very unusual birth. A father bore the pain of my birth. A father. He was not the hand holder, not the temporary masseuse. He did not set the pattern for breathing. A father bore the pain of this birth. For when an innocent child is the father's child, he does extraordinary things. A father bore the pain of my birth. For a guilty child to be born, an innocent child had to die. An innocent child whom only the father really knew. When an innocent child was slapped in condemnation, a guilty child was spanked to an inauguration of life, while the blood was slowly drained from the innocent one, the guilty child, his blood was gently wiped away by the tear-wetted swaddling clothes of a father. When the innocent child died, the guilty child was born and taken to the nursery of the house that love builds. Mine was an extraordinary birth. The father bore the pain. There were birth pangs and death pangs all in the same horrifying scream. But from that death, the death of an innocent son, the father chose to redeem them both. The innocent child and the guilty one. He redeemed them both. Resurrection, and he brings them home. The innocent child is already there in glory. And the guilty child is coming soon. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It is an anchor to the soul. Even on the days when I am groaning, oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life. What more could he give? Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me. It was good to go to church today. I really needed that.
What can I do for you, Harry?
I think I'd like to go back to my room now.
Okay.
I've got a little more groaning I need to do.
What's that?
No, never mind. You're a nice girl. You must have had really good parents.
They're okay.